Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
We are very excited to be broadcasting to you live
from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Everybody just relax.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What in the world happened with Stefan Diggs?
The Rich Eisen Show.
This couldn't have been put to bed completely, where if something similar doesn't happen on the first Monday night for the whole country.
ESPN's probably going to have a camera isolated on Diggs the whole game.
Today's guests, ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I can confirm. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with PJ Carlissimo in hour number one. He knows Greg Popovich very well. Gave us his thoughts on what Popovich is going to do the minute he gets his hands, his Hall of Fame coaching hands, on Victor Wembanyama, and how much longer he might want to coach. If you missed any of that, it's going to be sitting on our Twitter handle, our YouTube handle, the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is a fancy way of saying it's a video on demand service, part of our Roku channel relationship. The show re-airs as soon as it ends 2 hours from now. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk in hour number three. We've got a whole host of top five lists to come your way. I believe later on this hour, we're going to give our top five draft choices, first overall, second overall, and third overall. And fourth overall? Oh, is that right? We're going to have a fourth overall?
What Jay,
are you? Jay, Jay Ferry.
Oh, you
involved.
All right.
Yeah,
involved. Fantastic.
Delving into my vast knowledge.
So this is tons of top five lists right there. We're going to, in honor of the NBA draft tonight, I also have a top five list. Top five 1980s high school movies, because on this date, 39 years ago, The Karate Kid debuted in theaters near you. There's a fun video of Elizabeth Shue, who was on this show 5 years ago, talking about The Karate Kid on our Instagram feeds right now.
Wow. It's a cruel summer.
And so fun stuff today. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But we go to our guest line right now and welcome in one of the many folks who are going to be terrific to watch on the Worldwide Leaders coverage of the NBA draft tonight. Longtime front office executive in the NBA, Bobby Marks, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. How do you think, what was the celebration in the Spurs front office on lottery night, Bobby? What was that like?
Well, it's probably a little bit different than the celebration when I was back in New Jersey and we got the number one pick. And no offense to Kenyon Martin, it was a lot different back then than I think what San Antonio was able to do, and certainly luck is involved. But, yeah, I mean, generational player. Certainly the impact on the court, I mean, just from the business side also. I mean, you look at ticket sales and revenue, and, you know, he fits the mold as far as, you know, how this league is progressing here. I think there's still going to be some work for them to do as far as continue to surround him. I think they're going to need to get a center and a point guard. But, yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between getting the number one pick this year and certainly number two or three.
Have you ever in your career said about a team drafting a 7'5 guy, they're going to have to get a center? You know what I mean? I mean, that's how.
No.
You know, have you ever said that, Bob?
No, I usually would say, hey, they need a wing.
Right.
Not a center. No, I think in what you saw, too, when he played over in France, especially in the finals, you know, it was almost like the team from Monaco, I'll give you a hockey analogy, they basically sent out the third-line goon to basically get physical with Victor and push him away from the basket here. Yeah. And I think he's going to find it a lot easier in this league here because I do think there's going to be some protection, and I think the wear and tear in that league. I mean, it's basically call your own over there, where I think you know the refs will probably protect him a little bit more here.
How about that, Bobby Marks here on the Rich Eisen Show. So clearly, the decision and the drama tonight will rest as to Charlotte's decision, number two overall. And no surprise, reports coming out right now that they're still deciding. What do you think they are talking about in their meetings today, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, one thing I would say is if you can't get cute when you're picking at 2 and 3. And what I say at cute is, meaning cute is that you can't fall in love with a prospect all of a sudden because he comes in and does a 1-on-0 workout. And he, you know, certainly Scoot had a really good workout, and I think Brandon Miller had a really good workout. But I think, you know, certainly Scoot's year at the G League night was very uneven, a lot of injuries here. And I know Brandon Miller struggled during down a stretch here. I think certainly fit. If we draft Scoot Henderson, how does he fit with LaMelo Ball? I think the same conversation is having with Portland. Certainly when you have Damian Lillard here and you put basically two point guards together, I think it's character. You know, how does this player fit long term within our organization, whether it be Henderson or Miller? Certainly coachable. So there's a lot of different factors here, but I would say the one thing you can't get, I guess cute about is this biting you in the rear end a couple of years from now, as far as if Brandon Miller is the best available player and you go guard here. Because for an organization that has, I call it the bingo card tonight, 5 draft picks, 2 in the 1st, 3 in the 2nd, it's the most important draft in franchise history for them. I mean, plain and simple here. And so there's a lot of conversations. Usually by now, Rich, you already have that decision made. I mean, it shouldn't be leading up until, you know, the 12th hour.
So who would you take if you're Charlotte?
I would go Brandon Miller. I think just, you know, certainly a big wing, 6'9". Went in there twice. First workout was fair. He was coming off mono, so he went from 205 to 192 since the end of the season here. I just look at him, you know, the ability to play multiple positions here. I think the ability to create his own shot. I think it gives you some protection. You've got, you know, Miles Bridges and PJ Washington, who are restricted free agents here. And I think he will be the better pro down the stretch. Now, here's the big thing is who goes at 7 or 8, you know, 5 years from now, and you know, this could be actually the better pro, whether it be Cam Whitmore from Villanova or Jairus Walker from Houston. I mean, that usually how it shakes out.
So, Bobby Marks here on the Rich Eisen Show. Difference between what obviously Charlotte needs to do with their draft and what Portland needs to do with the draft is Portland, Joe Cronin, the GM there, has got an all-time great player in Damian Lillard sitting there, either staring at the ceiling about his future or is completely locked in about what he wants and has communicated it to Joe. What do you think is, walk me through the delicacy of the general manager of the Blazers' job tonight and moving forward, Bobby?
Yeah, high wire balancing act, right? Basically 3 different options you're staring at. You can stay at 3 and pick another young player, whether it be Henderson or Brandon Miller, and you drafted Shaedon Sharpe last year. You know, that basically sets you up for the future. Now, the future, when you've got Damian Lillard, you know, under contract for the next 4 years and at his age, that doesn't align up. So when you're looking at option 2, are you moving out of 3 for an established player, whether it be an all-star? There's no all-star right now out there to go out and get that's available here. And then certainly option 3 is what happens if you stay at 3, you draft it, and then that player, of course, does not fit the timeline of Damian Lillard. I mean, he's been out front saying that, you know, basically we're kind of in win-now mode and, you know, building this roster through young players is, you know, not my cup of tea right now. And I think under any other scenario, you would probably, you know, look at suitors. I think if Damian Lillard wants to get traded, Damian Lillard needs to go in that front office and says, you know what, time's up. I want to move here to 3 or 4 teams. And I think if that's the case, you know, I think Portland would certainly work with him based on the equity here. And I've said all along, I just feel like a year from now, if they don't move off Lillard, we're going to be talking again and be like, hey, what do they do with Damian Lillard again? And it's kind of just a repeated performance here. So if I was in that front office, I would draft, stay at number 3. I would have a hard conversation with Damian Lillard. Basically, this is the direction where we're going right now. And we're fine if you want out, and we'll help you getting to that place you want to get to.
So you would go to him if he hasn't come to you yet, Bobby?
Yes, because I don't know if he ever will. That's the thing. Like, he has so much goodwill there. I don't think he wants to be that guy who asks out. I don't know if that's what his legacy wants to be. Different than, you know, what Jimmy Butler did in, you know, in Minnesota. So, you know, there's certainly a legacy of players that have done that here. I think that's the conversation. I think if you're Joe Cronin, if you're going to be waiting for Damian Lillard to walk in your office, I think you're going to be waiting for a long time here. And I do think that if they do stay at three, that you're going to have that hard conversation.
Well, unless whoever they choose at three turns into an immediate, impactful, remarkably talented National Basketball Association player, it is hard for me to conceive that this squares with Damian Lillard staring at his biological watch on his hand and saying it's winning time, right? I don't know how you square these things, Bobby. So if they choose a guy tonight, right? If they choose a player tonight, doesn't that essentially wrap it? No? I mean, what do you got for me on that?
No, it is. And I think that's where we're trending towards. I think that's where we're trending towards. You know, all signs indicate that they are going to stay at three, that there's no deal that's going to come to fruition here. Mm-hmm. And I think even if, you know, whether it be Miller or Henderson, you know, what are we, 2 years away from now? You know, I mean, do you tell Damian Lillard, give us to the All-Star break and see where things are? I think you can make a clean break this offseason here, and I think you can get the most right now compared to waiting.
Bobby Marks, NBA Front Office Insider, getting ready for tonight's NBA draft here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is the financial strain, I guess, in Phoenix that will inform us about what they do with Ayton and the team that they currently have now with Beal?
Yeah, you got four guys on max contracts. You know, they equal $163 million. That's right at the luxury tax as is. So you basically have, you know, your options as far as building around those players are, you know, you can retain some of your own free agents, whether it be the TJ Warren and Jock Landale and Josh Okoji and Bismack Biyombo, the guys that were on your roster this year. You know, you have the veteran minimum, which is basically bargain shopping until the end of free agents here. And then you've got your big trade chip still, which is DeAndre Ayton, who's got 3 years left, $100 million left on his contract. Do you look to move off him and maybe split that contract up into two or three pieces here? So that's basically your options in Phoenix here. You know, they've basically, as I said, took a blowtorch to this new CBA that's going to come into effect. It's supposed to be restricting teams to be able to do that, but they got it in before this new CBA starts here. But they're going to be limited moving forward. You know, this is who their roster is going to be, unless, of course, you move off that Ayton contract.
And so the Warriors, what do you think they're going to do here, Bobby?
Well, here's the big thing. Yeah, so Draymond opts out, right? And then all signs indicate that, you know, likely he's going to be back, I would say. The difference with Draymond Green on your roster and without on your roster is $180 million difference as far as savings here. That is a huge number. But as you know, he brings tremendous value to the organization. If he left, you're basically limited. You're over the luxury tax already, so you really only have the veteran minimum exception. I think you're probably looking at the Jordan Poole contract. I think that's what, if you're going, his rookie extension starts in July. If you're looking to move off into maybe balance your roster or maybe go target veterans, which I think they want to do, you're squarely looking at Jordan Poole as far as the odd man out here.
As in terms of trading him somewhere, and he'll suddenly be out there. What are the Wizards doing, Bobby?
Yeah. Whenever you have a new front office that comes in, you usually take a wrecking ball to this. And I think the hard thing that they're trying to thread is what Utah did last year, Rich. I mean, I don't think you can emulate that, where you're basically trying, you know, they didn't get, you know, ones in the Phoenix deal. They got a bunch of seconds and expiring contracts, certainly Chris Paul. And then you flip Porzingis and you get, you know, Tyus Jones in that deal here, but they weren't able to do what the Jazz was and get that kind of Lauri Markkanen type player, Walker Kessler type player here. And, you know, they're basically hitting ground zero as far as where this roster is going to be. It's hard to stay competitive and stay in that middle area. And as you see here, this is a complete teardown.
Okay. And then I guess last one for you here, Bobby Marks, is the Nuggets being the champs, and obviously having a unicorn in Jokic is a great way to go about things. What is the sense that you have about a copycat here and their championship building and winning will resonate in the association. How will this affect tonight and the free agency season to come?
I just think it's hard to do what Denver did because front offices don't have patience. They don't have patience to build through the draft, certainly getting Jokic in the second round and Murray and Porter in the first round here. And I think I said this the other day. I thought that Denver caught a little bit of a break with the Murray injury because it gave them 2 years without the spotlight on him. If he was healthy and they lose in the first round or second round, then we're all wondering, well, you know, break up the Nuggets here. And they almost got a little bit of reprieve. But, yeah, it's hard. I think you look at Houston. They're trying to build through the draft, and they're basically probably going to wave the white flag a little bit this summer and go out and spend a lot of money on players here. So I think that model is extremely, extremely hard to do. Now, fortunately, Denver has done it right. I think they're going to continue to get better, especially with the starting five coming back.
So you think Lillard moves tonight, Bobby? Give me the big one tonight that we're not seeing right now.
Yeah, I don't think tonight. I think this is something that maybe we get into the weekend or we lead up into free agency here. But I don't think Lillard will be, you know, I don't think we're, you know, I would be real surprised if, you know, especially after they pick, he walks in their front office and says, this is it.
Right.
You know, I think this wouldn't be, I think it's almost like what we saw with Durant last year where, you know, maybe it drags out a little bit here. And I think if you're Portland, you're going to be, if you ever get to this point, you're going to be looking for the, you know, certainly the best package out there.
So any fireworks to look for tonight? You got something you want to put on our minds?
I think it's going to be heavy on transactions here. I think, you know, certainly I think teams like Atlanta is going to be interesting, you know, because they got a lot of money to move, whether it be DeAndre Hunter or John Collins, guys like, I think Dallas, hey, if you're going to re-sign Kyrie and pair him with Luka, does pick number 10 help you? You know, what can you get for that here? I think you're going to probably see some teams try to shed some salary here. I'm interested to see what happens, you know, certainly later in the week with Chris Paul. You know, I think, you know, the likelihood is that, you know, maybe that turns into a three-team trade and he goes elsewhere here. That's still out there. But I don't know. I don't think we see Zion or Brandon Ingram or one of those, you know, two players, you know, on the move tonight.
Bobby, thanks for the time. Have a great cast tonight. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet. That's Bobby Marks at Bobby Marks 42 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Follow him on Twitter. ESPN's NBA draft coverage is available across ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and ESPN digital platforms starting tonight at 8 Eastern Time. That's Bobby Marks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Anything leap out at you, gents? What do you have to say? Anything?
The whole Dame thing, we don't know what's going through this guy's mind. And so it's going to be interesting. Is he going to go to that front office? Is he just going to stay pat? Is he going to be the Reggie Miller of this generation and just stay with this team?
I just think here's what I'll say about Lillard again, just to repeat it one more time before the draft tonight. If they choose a prospect third overall and don't flip that prospect somewhere else tonight. And because, you know, the NBA draft is very confusing to watch sometimes. They'll put on a hat, and the team that's on that hat is not only not the team that he's going to play for, it's not even the team that trades for that hat and the player in the hat that keeps him. Sometimes they put on three hats in a night. Very confusing. Because in the NFL draft, one team will just trade, go to that spot, choose the player. Instead, they're like, they'll let the other team draft him, put on the hat that's not theirs.
Do the photo.
Have the photo.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, acquire that player. And it's really confusing. Really, really confusing.
Well, because the NBA does free agency after.
Correct.
And so a lot of these deals can't be completed or officially finalized
until the new league year.
So, you know, say Boston takes a guy at 25, but then he's involved in a trade to somewhere else. He's going to have the hat pictures where he's, but he'll never play. So
that's the point.
It's kind of frustrating.
Is we need to know if the Blazers do use the draft choice and put their hat on Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson tonight.
Yeah.
And that player finishes the evening still wearing that hat, and there's no trade involving the player wearing the Blazer hat.
Tonight.
tonight or in the next week or at all.
Yeah.
And it's communicated to Dame, and Dame calls up Joe Cronin, or I don't know how it works, but it's communicated to Damian Lillard, this is our move. I find it hard to believe that if Damian Lillard wants to win a championship this year or next, or even the year after that, will look at this and say, I'm fine playing with you and for this team and gelling all together. So by age 35, we got this. I find it very hard to believe when there are teams in the East, which isn't nearly as loaded as the West, that are willing to acquire him.
Sixers.
And give him, or Miami, right? Name any team in the East that would love to have him.
Bucks.
Celtics.
Knicks.
We all just named our teams.
No, I'm serious. Right?
Yeah.
So the question is he up for uprooting and going there? Hmm. What does he want? Because if they choose the player tonight and say, this is our move, I can't imagine he's going to be, if he wants to win a ring now or next year, and he is cool with leaving the only NBA community he's lived in and known, I find it hard to believe that he's going to play for the Blazers. Right?
Yes.
Unless he's like, all right, I'll give it half a year.
Right.
I'll see what the kid's like. Because as we're about to see, when we do our top five lists of the best players drafted first, second, third, and fourth overall, there are some pretty good players who've been drafted third overall in the NBA who will make a difference immediately and can be a big-ass championship-building piece on the spot. Maybe he's willing to see if that's working. And if not, then next February, it's on. And we might be in Vegas at next year's Super Bowl. And instead of me turning around and seeing Damian Lillard behind the NFL Network game day morning set as a fan, he is somewhere like Durant on Super Bowl week, taking over the entire media landscape because he's been traded. Maybe that's the way it was going to work. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, we have created a top five list for the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 overall picks in the history of the NBA draft. It'll be fun. Mike Florio and our number 3 as well. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company, wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus Oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and like get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Play game with Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo over there.
Okay.
where I will read out the facts. They will guess whether it's true meta or false meta, and then you will confirm.
Okay, let's do it.
Here we go.
The Rich Eisen Show presents Real Meta.
Our test, that's a three. Bang!
Or fake meta.
I wore number 37 for the Lakers because Michael Jackson's album Thriller was number one on the Billboard charts for 37 consecutive weeks. True meta?
No
or
way.
Fake? No way.
No way.
Is it fake meta?
That is 100% true.
That's true. That's true.
I knew it was 37 weeks, man. But I wouldn't guess.
All right, next one. Right before his comeback with the Wizards, I broke two of Michael Jordan's ribs in a pickup game and delayed his comeback by 3 months. I was so upset about it, I didn't leave my house for days. True meta or fake meta?
I think that's true.
I'm saying true.
That's true. That's true. I love Michael Jordan. Probably my favorite player.
You broke his ribs?
It was on accident. It was a summertime pickup game, and it was an intense game.
In 2010, an art show honoring me was held in Toronto, Canada, entitled Lovable Badass.
False.
True. That's true.
Damn, we have a tie! All right, last one. Last one. In 2010, I was cited for driving a race car with an expired registration down a city street. True meta or fake meta?
Based on his reaction, I'm going to say true.
I got to go true, too.
That's true.
That's true. It was an Indy 500 car. It was fun.
How did you fit in that thing?
I didn't really fit. I was real like this and hitting the gas with my one little pinky toe.
And the city he did it was Westwood, California.
Yeah, casual.
Oh, my goodness. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. NBA Draft Night, as we all know. You came up with this idea, TJ?
Well, in all fairness,
yes.
I presented you with two ideas for you to choose from. You picked Chris's. This was Chris's idea. This
Chris,
was
my idea. Good idea. Good
you
idea.
You said no to my idea.
You should have just accepted it.
You should have just taken the credit.
But I don't want to do that, man.
So, Chris, good idea.
Thanks, Rich.
I have a top five list. You have a top five list.
Correct.
TJ, you have a top five list.
Yeah, buddy.
Jay Feli. You have a top five list?
Yeah, I do.
And so the lists that we have are the top five draft choices at four different draft positions. I've got first overall.
You do? Because you're number one on the call sheet.
Chris, you're two?
I'm number two.
TJ, you got three?
Three.
You wanted the Jordan spot?
That's
I understand.
The magic number.
We all know who your number three, your number one's going to be.
You never know.
No,
you
stop.
Know me. I can go wild.
Michael Jordan isn't the greatest third overall. Like it's as if, you know what?
Why for are you NFL, ruining my
on,
segment,
on NFL, it's not ruining anything. The NFL draft. No, I'm going to have a top five list of the top five 199th picks of all time. Who do you think's number one on that list? And Jay, you've got the top five,
number four
overall draft choice of all time. Okay, so you have the music here.
Which music were you?
It's the NBA.
Music, baby.
My
Let's
gosh,
go.
It's very very Del Tufo question right over there. Normally you're on it. All right, here we go. Here's my top five list. Top five number one overall draft choices. As you know, there's many of them.
Well, a lot of good ones.
I know.
And some good ones, man.
I know. Just the number one. Overall draft choice. No, it's all on one page.
Yeah, I'm going 5-4-3.
LeBron is the number one overall draft choice of all time, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar number two. I mean, he just passed Kareem on the all-time list. I understand about championships and whatever. I get it. Magic three, Shaq four, Tim Duncan five. So again, LeBron is the number one overall draft choice of all time, and you're already wincing over there, Chris. You're not a LeBron guy. I get it. You're not.
Well, Kareem didn't ring chase.
Okay.
You know he won rings with multiple teams, right?
So there you have it.
But he didn't.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar two, Magic three, Shaq four,
Shaq
Duncan five, obviously Hakeem Olajuwon. Big O could have cracked this top five.
True.
But that's my top five number one overall draft choices of all time. So, how would you reorder that? Kareem 1, LeBron 2?
I think I would have Kareem 1.
Would you have Magic over LeBron?
I think I would have Magic over LeBron.
So LeBron would be 3 LeBron over Shaq? How far down are you putting LeBron is the question.
LeBron 3. LeBron 3.
Damn.
But he doesn't have a problem with LeBron.
Okay.
I don't.
He does.
I don't.
We know it. All right, Chris.
I used to own LeBron's shoes.
Second, you're next on the clock.
Now, before we get to the list, apologies to the great Bob Pettit, Earl the Pearl Monroe, Bob McAdoo, The Glove, and Big Zoe. This was really hard. A lot of good choices at number 2. I will start at the bottom. Number 5, Isaiah Thomas, 1981. Jason Kidd, number 4 from 94. Kevin Durant in 2007. The logo, Jerry West, number 2 in 1960. And the great Bill Russell. The greatest number 2 pick of all time, 1956.
Okay. 3 of them active in the NBA right now. As we all know, Kevin Durant with the Suns, Jason Kidd, the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, and Isaiah Thomas with the Phoenix Suns organization.
This is a tough list.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have any argument with that one, I don't think. Very good. Bill Russell, obviously, is number 1 on that
pretty
list.
Pretty good.
Edging out the logo of the association.
Yeah, pretty good.
You didn't react to my slide against Isaiah Thomas. I'm a little offended. You just glossed right over that. Okay.
Isaiah Thomas is really good. I was going to put Bob Pettit there, but a little too many guys from the black and white.
TJ Jefferson, 3rd overall. Yeah, you're on the clock. What
I'm
do you
on
got?
On the clock, and to quote Eminem, I got a list. Here's the order of my list that it's in. Coming in at number 5. I like to go backwards. I got Bob Cousy. Number 4, nice. I told Brockman I'm having a hard time. I couldn't decide. I have Carmelo Anthony and Dominique Wilkins. I couldn't decide between the two.
But this is okay.
I know. You know how I do. Kevin McHale, I got him at 3. James Harden at 2. And with the 3rd pick, I made the earth sick, to quote Jay-Z. I do have Michael Jordan as the number 1 greatest
James
number
Harden.
3 NBA draft pick.
I have to push back.
Oh, I can. And you know what? I'm completely okay with pushback on some of these because Harden? This is tough, man.
Harden over McHale?
That's tough.
Kevin McHale?
That's tough.
Kevin McHale. I mean, look, 2 and 3? It's still close.
3-time NBA champion and a Hall of Famer.
Kevin McHale?
The greatest 6 man maybe of all time.
But when you then what it came down to there is I kind of looked at just the individual skill level. Like, McHale was great. He does have the rings. But James Harden has an MVP. Kind of changed the game a little bit with his level and style of play. It was tough. Like I said,
okay.
Looking at Dominique Wilkins and Carmelo Anthony, it is really crazy how similar those two careers are. Yeah. And like, it was very hard. I couldn't decide between the two of them. Like, I wanted to give Melo the nod because of the Olympics.
True.
A lot of times we don't. For whatever reason, we don't give
greatest
our country props for the
Olympics. Greatest Team USA player of all time, yeah, Carmelo Anthony.
Well, Durant's up there, too, don't forget. I think Durant has the rough scoring record, doesn't
he? Does he? Did he pass Melo? Okay.
I think he did, and I know that because as the host of Tokyo Gold.
Ah, yes. expertly hosted Tokyo Gold.
Thank you so much. Jason Feller.
Yeah, Rich, it was tough, man.
That's
it was
a good
harder
list.
Than I
That's
thought.
A good list.
That's
right.
So tough, you gave us 6.
You know, right,
this is
Jason
first time.
Feller.
Hey, first time.
What are you winning? First time for what?
What do you got? For being doing the list with you guys.
Okay, top 5. So, you have the top 5 number 4 overall draft choices of all time.
Right. Number 5, we got Glenn Rice, part of the Lakers 3-peat team. He was the missing piece.
You have me at hello with
number
Glenn
4,
Rice.
Number 4, Chris Paul, rookie of the year 2006. Led the team in assists 5 times, steals 6 times. For a record.
Yep.
Number 3, Chris Bosh, part of the Big 3, back-to-back champion. Number 2, Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double, now at 198, 4-season average. Wow. And number 1, best commercial ever, Dikembe Mutombo.
Mutombo!
8-time All-Star, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year. Dikembe Mutombo.
Look at Felly getting it done.
No.
Concise, informational.
Say, shouldn't Chris Paul be number 1?
Point guard?
I mean, it's his list.
It's my list. Your list.
So,
wow. I'm just kidding.
Chris Paul over Dikembe Mutombo?
Dikembe a little high.
A little high?
A little high.
Well, he's tall. What else?
7'2".
Who else?
I don't know. Chris Paul is a little low for me.
Well, for my number 1 overall list, it was either LeBron or Oluokandi. So that was my choice.
Yeah. I'm sure you had to send texts out like I did the other night trying to figure it out. Like last night, I'm texting people like, what do you think about this?
I was going to do a top five all-time number one busts list, but I, you know, that's so negative.
Yeah.
What's it? Yeah. The...
It's so negative. And it was.
Plus, you don't want Kwame Brown like getting on you.
Kwame Brown, we don't want any piece of him.
Well, he had a pretty decent career. Who was the guy that the Cavs took?
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. That dude is clear number one.
Well, it's Greg Oden too.
He got hurt. His body betrayed him.
You know, it's
he made
always
a comeback a little bit. He won a ring with
I know
Miami.
That. Yeah. No, I know that.
Yeah.
It just any chance to slag on someone from Ohio State would you know, I was going to take it, and I didn't do it, and then did it anyway.
Of course,
you did.
Yeah, but good stuff. Now you can.
I did it anyway.
I didn't want to do it.
Yes, I did. I absolutely did. So yeah. I did it. All right, let's take a break.
All right,
and
I need more news. I need more stuff popping.
It's not like, much popping.
What are Woj and Shams?
Not
up
even
to
fresh
right now?
Dough.
Come on,
not even that's not popping either.
Golly.
Did you say fresh dough?
I did. Okay, lots going on in the city of New York on the sports scene. Yankees and Jets. Is that right up my alley or what? Is that up my alley?
Gonna have a moment for you coming up.
No, it's a moment for me. A moment for us, as Kilby would say. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
All right, what are we talking about?
Oh, man. So we got a tweet not too long ago from this guy. He is getting his oil changed this afternoon.
Is it Del Tufo?
No, it's not Del Tufo. Not Del Tufo. Oh, I was trying to find the tweet. But this popped up. He sent us a tweet because in the waiting room, they got the Roku channel on.
Look at this.
Hey.
At Quick Car and Lube of Fitzhugh in Dallas. Yes. All right.
How cool is that?
Yeah, waiting on your oil change.
Del Tufo's in Dallas.
My uncomfortable hour in a synthetic leather trailer has been elevated. Thank you, Matt.
Shout out to Matt Howerton.
Appreciate it. And hope you get a
discount?
A little free calendar with the oil change.
He works at WFAA, the ABC affiliate
in
Dallas.
Dallas. That is W-A-F-A-A. A significant. Yeah. Yeah. WFAA.
Matt's an Emmy winner, apparently.
Well done. Yeah. At least one of us has to be.
Right? Well, how's that feel, Matt? Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
By the good looking waiting room. They got some magazines. Right. On the
pop
table.
That up.
They
got pop some, that up. Pop that up. Pop that up one more time.
Well kept. The coffee maker, very clean. Oh, and the Roku channel.
No cracks or holes in the tiles.
By the way, you know? I mean, normally magazines are. Did Matt put the magazines together for the photo?
Table looks clean.
I don't know.
Fantastic.
What's up, Matt? Is Matt watching this segment right now, still waiting for his car to be changed?
What time did he tweet that?
He tweeted this to us at 9:22 Pacific. So he might still be there if they're running a little
possible.
Late.
Running a little late. All right, Matt.
Well, then they should give him a discount because they just got a shout out. You know,
an
for
hour.
A,
well, it was
know, a, how many? 60 million people.
Quick Car and Lube.
And Lube, yes. For all your car and lube.
I can feel it.
Why did that hit me? I don't know why that one hit me. Back here on our program.
I can feel it.
Okay, so let's talk a little New York sports.
All right.
Okay. Rich from Staten Island, longtime listener, first time caller to the Rich Eisen Show. When Aaron Rodgers joined the Jets,
you were so happy.
Well, my concern was how is he going to handle the New York scene? Mm-hmm. And it's been hand in glove, right?
It's been a love fest.
It has been hand in glove.
It's like the king of the city.
He's rocking out to Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran, and you know, going to concerts at MetLife. He's hanging out in the third row of the Tony Awards. He is just throwing himself into the New York world.
MSG.
Okay, but my concern is going to be what happens when the New York media covers aspects outside of his football world in a way that was never discussed or on a front page or a back page. I don't think there's any back pages of the Green Bay Post-Gazette.
Yeah.
Outside of just, you know, what, classified ads or a regular advertisement. But, you know, he spoke at an event in Denver yesterday. What was this event that he spoke at? It was...
Psychedelics.
You're talking about, you know,
let me get the name of
psychedelic
it.
Drugs or mind-expanding drugs. And we all know he's tried ayahuasca before and he's talked about it and folks in positions like mine. We even had our fun with it, right, that he's sipping the tea and what have you.
Yeah.
We know people who have done ayahuasca. The actor
David
Boreanaz came out here and talked about it. And I don't frown on it. Mind-expanding drugs. And he even, Rogers, talked about how he believes ayahuasca has helped expand his mind and focused in on his game and his life in a way that caused, I think he thinks he's an MVP because of it. And he talked about how the NFL should have these psychedelic drugs legal, I guess, in their drug policy. So players can have their mind expanded, right?
Rich, he was at the Psychedelic Science 2023 is the name.
Yeah, up there in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, you know, your Mets are not doing very well. Yanks are kind of... they're a little bit up. They've beaten the Mariners two games in a row after getting swept by the Red Sox. So Knicks are getting ready, I guess, for the draft, and the Nets getting ready for the draft. So what's to talk about on the back page of the New York Post today? High times is the is the headline. Rogers says hundreds of NFLers want to join his psychedelic trip. Makes push for legalizing hallucinogens. And it's a photograph of Aaron speaking at the Psychedelic Science 2023 conference in Denver. Says he is far from the only NFL player who has used psychedelics and that he hopes they gain greater acceptance. That takes up the entire back page. And again, this is coming.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
This is coming. and if the Jets... in their difficult schedule, start off 1-3, 2-4, and there'll be an article about is he losing the locker room? And I guarantee you the headline would be like losing standing daily with LSD being the main letters.
Like green and white outline shadow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or a shot of him sipping tea, like, Rodgers loses his mind during three interception performance. Like, this is stuff he's never experienced before. And the honeymoon can flip in a hurry, and that is, hopefully he sees that, finds it funny. High times is the headline of today's New York Post. It's just, again, something to file away. That the New York Post wanted to put in front of all the commuters and the front doorsteps of those in the metropolitan area on Thursday, June 22nd. You know, underneath news about one of the great Rangers goalies of all time getting into the Hall of Fame, and then one of the great prospects in the history of the NBA about to get drafted in New York City. Oh, and by the way, above the Yankees winning their second in a row. Speaking of the New York Yankees, I remember a time when I was a youngin, when one of the all-time New York Yankee memory providers, because he was one of the all-time great Yankees, but in the history of the New York Yankees, their vast history, one of the great moments, top 10 has to be, and we're talking Mantle, Ruth, DiMaggio, obviously, on and on and on and on, sure. One of the greatest moments of all time has to be Bucky Dent hitting a home run over Fenway Park in game 163 for the Yankees to complete a 1978 back from the dead American League East Championship, and then, of course, moving on to winning it all for back-to-back years, 77-78. One of the greats of all time, George M. Steinbrenner III, the owner of the Yankees, years later, firing Bucky Dent as manager of the Yankees in, of all places, Fenway Park.
What goes around comes around.
Because George didn't care who you were. Didn't care what you've done in the past. What were you doing for him lately? And how were you not only winning baseball games, but helping him avoid the embarrassment, the personal embarrassment? When you lost as a Yankee, you weren't just costing the team. You weren't just costing the franchise money. You were embarrassing him personally, and him taking it personally infuriated me. I just wanted him to be patient. Take it easy as it goes. Don't stir it up all the time, George. And it's crazy. I don't know how this is a lesson for me, maybe, as a 53, almost, by the way, I turned 54. I'm a 54-year-old cheerleader as of Saturday. I don't know. Maybe I'm losing patience myself as an aging individual. But when I hear his son, Hal, who's running the team right now, say this on Michael Kay's radio show about the Yankees after they just lost 5 of 6 to the Red Sox, including getting swept in a doubleheader, including one that the whole country saw on Sunday Night Baseball, which used to enrage George when the Yankees lost on national TV on the Saturday game of the week with Vin Scully in the booth for NBC, right? Remember those days?
Yep.
When the Yankees lost on Monday Night Baseball with Keith Jackson or Al Michaels in the booth, it drove him nuts. Because he was getting embarrassed. This is what Hal had to say about the current state of the Yankees.
I don't know how much you monitor what's said on radio shows or on social media, but for some reason, I mean, your fan base, at least the vocal ones, Hal, very, very upset. They're just upset. I mean, have you heard that noise? Do you try to block it out? Does it affect you?
Yeah, I don't. Look, I want to know. You know, I talk to Jason Zillow a lot, and I talk to different people. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't listen to radio shows. I don't read the papers much. I just don't. But I want to know what the vibe is out there, and I understand they're upset. I'm a little confused this year. Being, third week in June, why they're so upset. But they're upset, and that's going to get my attention, of course. And, you know, everybody just needs to know that we're working hard on all fronts to get this, to get this back on the rails and start playing the way we were for, a couple-week period there in May. But health has got to be a part of it. We got to get Aaron back. You know, Rodon had a rehab outing. He felt great afterwards, 42 pitches, I believe. We got to get him into the mix. We got to get healthier. We got to get guys off the IL and put sending guys to the IL. That's one factor that needs to happen.
Very nuanced take. Let's get our best player that we spent all our money on and Aaron Judge back from the IL, where he's been on two different stints. And Carlos Rodon, we made all our moves, our big pitching move, and he hasn't pitched yet. But hearing him talk about how well they were playing in May, George M. Steinbrenner III once called Dave Winfield Mr. May.
And that was an insult.
It was an insult because you win in October, which the Yankees have not done in too damn long. Patience is understood if you won a couple years ago. They just finished the first decade in the history of the team without winning a championship. And now you're seeing the same stuff over and over again. The same stuff where they can't seem to still pitch properly to folks like Rafael Devers. And Altuve, wait till he gets his shot against the Yankees again. It's just amazing to me how different he is from his dad, and how I'm sitting here thinking how much I miss his dad. You want to know what the Yankees need right now?
Some George Steinbrenner.
This from George M. Steinbrenner III being chronicled on 60 Minutes in the late 80s by the brilliant Ed Bradley, who asked him if he's a good loser or not. Give a listen to this and contrast it to what you just heard from his son.
Are you a graceful loser?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm like a Yankee fan. My foot has gone through a number of television sets in my time. I bleed like those guys out there do, the fans. I mean, they hate to see you lose, and I hate to lose.
You take it personally?
Yes. Yes, I mean, I do.
What does it say about George Steinbrenner when the Yankees lose?
It says he's one of the worst losers in the world. You show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. And I got to be one of the worst.
We just got to get back to the way we've been playing in May, even though we haven't won a championship since 2009.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know it too. Funny, funny, funny. Oh, the fact that you can sit there and crow is exactly why people like me are livid and just saying, oh, let's just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Let's just keep waiting for the home runs to hit. And then in between the home runs not getting hit, let's get three hit. And instead, you're just like, yeah, I speak to my VP of communications. That's who I hear from.
He doesn't read the papers or
get out of here. Come on. George would not only read the papers and know what's going on, he would have his person call the newspapers and plant stuff to make sure that everybody was on their toes. And it made me so upset when I was younger. And now that I'm older, I'm like, where is that foot getting stuck up people's you-know-what and broken off? Amazing how I've devolved. But that's my two cents on how channeled Papa a little bit. Listen to what people like me are saying and make things a little uncomfortable. And see how that works. Because for a decade and a half, it hasn't worked. Shut up. Stop looking so smug.
It's surprising.
Because Yankees still have a better record than the Red Sox, despite everything that went down over my Israeli walkabout.
Who cares? 5-1, heads up.
Shut up.
It's surprising that you love him so much, considering where he went to college.
Oh. Where do you go to college, Chris? I know he's an Ohio guy, a Cleveland shipbuilder.
He went to the Ohio State.
I know. I get it. And I couldn't stand him. He made life miserable. The only way that the Yankees got...
No, he's irrational.
...got great... Hey, you know? The only way the Yankees got great in the 90s is because he was sent packing. Because he got suspended and then all his meddling went away. And the Yankees built and got it done right. And Cashman was the guy who was there
Cashman
in the middle
really
of it.
Good, yeah. He's good in those days.
But at this point in time, it ain't working.
Oh, I mean, George would have fired Cashman and Boone a long time ago.
Or made it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not like, yeah, I speak to my my chief VP of communications. He tells me what people are saying. And I don't really, you know, I don't really listen to what they're saying. We just need to play like we did in May. And I heard that May's the word, like, Dave Winfield's got to be somewhere and going, that's a Steinbrenner? Talking about how great we played in May? Because once upon a time, I nearly hit him in an elevator about how I was Mr. May. I want those days back.
It's a shame.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.